Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game, yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene. Damn. Fuck up.
Welcome. This ain't no video game. Life will only give you one. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. Today is Saturday, October the, 29th, that's right, October the 29th, Saturday, October the 29th, 2016, and the time is 12 noon Central Time. My brothers, my sisters, as always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today, and as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable, I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah, and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we're on part 6, 7-part series. We're talking about the physical and the psychological effects of religion and the world. Today, we've been talking about the problem, so today we want to look at the solution. So as you know, we've been going through this series, and we've been talking about all of the different ways by which the psychological effects and the physical effects didn't really get too much in the physical other than the fact that it causes dehydration. Dehydration, again, results in an acidic state in the body, and when the body is acidic, that is the only way that disease or dis-ease can manifest in the body. So accelerated aging, again, is just simply meaning that the cells regenerate or they renew themselves at the disease state instead of the original state. So we could talk about the physical aspect of it. There's a lot of stuff that we could talk about, but basically people age faster than others because of the physical effects of dealing and hanging out in the world. And one of those things, again, we've been talking about, we talked about lust, we talked about pride, and we talked about cares. And so when you are engaging in those activities, it results in physical effects or has physical effects in the body. And then we talked about the psychological effects. We talked about double think. We talked about cognitive dissonance. You know, we talked about understanding predictive programming. And all of these, again, along with the litany of other things by which it causes us to have an existence on this earth that is not as fulfilling as we could. And the purpose of being on earth is for us to learn how to live. The purpose of being on earth is not to be good or bad. Contrary to popular beliefs, the purpose of being on earth to learn how to live life or to learn or to receive eternal life. So eternal life doesn't happen after you leave here. The eternal life happens while you are here. The purpose of your life is to figure out eternal life. That is why you're here. The purpose of your life is not to, you know, wait until you die and then have this stroke of overstanding and then figure out eternal life. Now, what does that mean? That simply means that you should live your life in a manner that allows you to transcend the dis-ease of this world. And the way that you do that is by understanding that the cherubim and the cherubim, which is again an angelic host or an angel, is the cerebrum or the cerebellum. So the cerebellum of the brain represents the cherubim that's mentioned inside the Bible. First inside is mentioned inside of the Garden of Eden because God put an angel, a cherubim, with a flaming sword to guard the tree of the garden. So it talks about in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, that the cherubim are placed by God after they kicked out Adam and Eve from the garden to protect them from coming back into the garden, because then they would have eternal life if they ate from the tree of life in a fallen state. So we are supposed to return to, again, our risen state, so that way we can return to our eternal state. So the reason that you are on earth is to return to heaven, or the word heaven means heave up, to return to a place where the thoughts in the brain oscillate or vibrate on the same level as God, which is based upon love. So when you're able to operate in a spirit or in a disposition of love, that allows you to go to a higher place that activates the hippocampus, or what is called Ammon's horn, inside the brain, which we're going to be talking about in the next series, again, where we're talking about CSF. So I posted a lot of information on Facebook today, rolling out the next series that talks about the phonics, and we get into under over and understanding how CSF, which is the cherubim or the cerebral spinal cord or spinal fluid, that is really called the Christos or the Christ spiritual fluid. And so rebirth is the result of the cerebrum, if I can freaking pronounce it this morning, which is the part of the brain that releases a fluid that goes down a spinal cord, and it goes down all 33 vertebrae of the spinal cord, which is Jacob's ladder, and it meets in the brain that has the 12 cranial nerves, which represents the 12 disciples, and it ignites the pineal gland in the brain and the pineal gland in the genitalia. This represents the resurrection. And so it's an inside-outside job. It's not an outside-inside job. And the way that you bring about this CSF is to do what the scripture says, to overcome the physical and the psychological effects of being attached to fear, doubt, and unbelief, being attached to love, I mean not love, lust, being attached to pride, and being attached to the cares of this world. And the way that you overcome it is, again, exactly what the scripture says. So let's break this down. How do we overcome the world? How do we overcome worldliness? Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 tells us exactly what we should do to detach ourselves from fear, doubt, and unbelief, to detach ourselves from whole predictive programming, to detach ourselves from accelerated aging. Revelation 12, 10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, notice that it's loud and it's a voice, it's a frequency, it's a wave, and it's a vibration that is in heaven. And the word heaven means heaved up. It means in the upward expanse of the north. That has to do with your brain, with your crown chakra. And this voice, it says, I heard a voice in heaven saying, now have come the salve or salvation and the power and the kingdom of God. So there's three things that have come: salvation, power, and the kingdom. Let me say that again. The word salvation means the word salve. The word salve means an ointment. The word ointment means oil. The word oil means chrism. The word chrism, again, means Christ. It's the ointment or the anointment. So you smear this ointment, and this ointment is released by the brain, which flows down the spinal cord or the spinal column. And all of this, again, is a part of how we overcome the world. But how does that happen? Well, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says that once we come to this salvation, then we receive this power, then we have access to the kingdom. That is the three-step process to overcoming the world. But how do we get this salvation? It says, now have come salvation and power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ. So you get authority when you become Christ, meaning when you oscillate and vibrate in your anointing, meaning anointing, ointment, the smearing, the covering, the spinal cord, this fluid that runs throughout our body. And this is the Christ, the messianic office that furnishes the one in that office with the authority or with the power to fulfill that office. And then it goes on and say in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. So when this goes up to the brain, something comes out of the brain. For the accuser, and this accuser means these negative thoughts, these thoughts of lack of self-worth. Remember, we was talking about the whole entitlement spirit and the whole ideal of people that are entitled because they have this low self-esteem. And this low self-esteem, the only way to do it is to build your own dream. Now, what do I mean? So people like myself who come from a background, or people who are not like myself who come from a very affluent background. So you come from a very affluent background, you expect people to help you or to give you stuff to maintain that affluent background. You don't want to work for it yourself. If you come from a place where it's extreme poverty and there is no affluence, then you expect and you feel like somebody should give you stuff for free to help you get to the affluent background. You see how both puzzles have the same problem? Spirit of entitlement. How do you get over it? You tell the person that is extremely poor, you're going to take baby steps to build up your own confidence and to basically help build up your self-esteem. You're going to build your own dream. You tell the person that comes from extreme wealth, okay, I'm going to disconnect you. I have to take you off the kitty. That means you got to figure this out for yourself, but I'm not going to leave you hanging. You're going to take baby steps. And each time you accomplish a little thing, it's going to build a little bit of confidence. And when you keep moving in the direction of being self-sufficient, it adds meaning to your life. And you start to build your own legacy apart from the entitlement. And how do you take these small steps? How do you build your own legacy? How do you stop depending on other people to bail you out and you start to bail yourself out? You start to build up yourself. You start to do what the Bible says, you know, to build up yourself. The way that you do that, again, the same way as it says in the book of Revelation. Let's continue reading. Revelation chapter 12, again, it says that the bottom, Revelation 12:10, the end of chapter, verse 10 says that for the accuser of our brothers have been thrown down, he who accuses them day and night before our God. They have conquered him. This is how we conquered him. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You can't have a testimony unless you have a test. You can't have a testimony unless you have a test. So the way that you overcome the world, again, is by the blood of the Lamb. That has to do with the spinal cord and the fluid that we just been talking about, because the blood is the life of the flesh. And so we defeat the world by the blood of the Lamb. Blood represents life force. So we defeat by the life force of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And they did not love their lives so as to shy away from death. Now, this is so important that let's break it down. This is how you overcome the world, and this is how you overcome religion. Because you get salvation, you get power, and you get the kingdom of God. But how do you get it? Well, again, by the blood, that means that's the life, not the social path, not the psychopath, but the life path. So the life path that you have comes from the Lamb. It comes from God. Let's read it in the New Living Translation. It says, and they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Do you guys remember what we read yesterday when we was reading, what was it, 2 John, 2 John? And it says that if you love the world, the love of the Father cannot be in you. So what is this saying? Let's read it again. They did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. There's a lot of people that they love their life so much they don't want to leave their life. They want to figure out, there's a lot of people on earth, they want to figure out how to live on earth forever because they forgot how it was in the celestial realm. And so this life on earth pales in comparison to the life in the celestial realm. But since we don't remember our prior existence with the Father, we think that this life is the bomb, not realizing that we had a previous and a prior life with the Father. And so, again, we overcome our attachment disorder, the entitlement disorder, bipolar disorder, arrested development disorder, every disorder and every dis-ease we overcome by choosing our life path and by taking the word of our testimony. Most people are ashamed of their testimony. Now, the word of your testimony, that means that now you have a test. And that test, when you pass it, that gives you confidence. And you use your testimony to share with other people. That's all I'm doing today. Right now, I'm just sharing with you my testimony. That's all I'm doing. So how did I do? Well, I passed the test. How did I pass the test? By going back and looking at the areas that I was failing in, studying and retaking it. And then I failed again. So I studied. Okay, man. And then I went back. Okay, I'm ready to retake that test. God, let's go. And then I got thrown right back into the same old problem. Failed again. So your test is you got to overcome weight loss. You got to overcome alcohol. You got to overcome lust. You got to overcome pride. You got to overcome the cares of this world. And you keep going back. Those demons keep coming back until you get more powerful than they are. And then you look them in the eye and say, I'm sorry, homie. I'm not doing that no more. But until that day happens, you have no authority. You have no power. Because the devil knows that all he has to do is take out this trump card and blam, drop it on the counter, and it's a wrap. So until you overcome him by choosing to live your life according to your purpose, because that gives you power to pass your test. Let me say that again. So you're a sociopath, and you can't pass the test. Why? You're depending on social engineering. Or you're a psychopath, and you can't pass the test. Now, you can pass a lot of tests, pass the test. What is the test? Same thing that Jesus did. He took Jesus up on a high mountain, and he says, if you bow down and worship me, all these kingdoms I will give unto you. That's what he did to me. And I was like, okay, if I do this, okay, I bow down and kiss the ring finger. Because, again, my lunch was ordered. What does that mean? That means that he presented something to you that was your dream. What does that mean? That means that it is the lust of the flesh. That means that it's the pride of life. That means that it's the cares of this world. See, I don't know if you understand those three demons right there. Man, them puppies, when they show up, it's a wrap. You can kiss the baby. Because he ain't going to show you something like, come on, man. Like, let's be for real. Like, the lust of the flesh. Now, think about the thing that you love more than anything on earth. You would give your left breast, your left nut for a blank. What is that? Whatever it is, that's what the enemy bringing. That's what's coming. And if you cannot resist the devil, and he will flee. Notice it's the love of it. So it isn't that you cannot have it. It says that you can't love it more than you love your life path. So I like alcohol. That's just an example. Well, actually, I don't drink. That's why I'm using an example. But let's say alcohol. If I was an alcoholic, every time I started doing what I was called to do and somebody came by, hey, man, we're having a party over here, free liquor. Man, but I was supposed to go and do a lecture. I'm a master teacher, so I was supposed to go teach. But did you drink free liquor? Yeah, dog, we got free liquor, all you can drink. What time is it? Oh, it's at 8 o'clock. Oh, well, I got a show at 8. Yeah, man, but dude, you don't understand. Free liquor, like all you can drink. Okay, I'm going to cancel that show. Because why? Lust. Then what about pride? See, pride, man, everybody has something that makes them feel like they're on top of the world. Some people it's education. Some people it's having a beautiful woman next to them. Some women is having a handsome dude. Some people it's their family. Now, pride is interesting because pride is not necessarily a bad thing. See, the pride of life, meaning that you got a big house, you got a nice car, you worked hard for it, you're proud of your success. Bam, devil got you. Because you're going to spend all your time taking care of your big house and your nice car instead of living your life path, instead of living on the path that God has placed you on. And then the cares of this world. cares of this world. So you got a lot of kids. You care about them. You got parents. They're getting older. You care about them. You got nephews. You got aunts and uncles. You know, you got a pet. You got a lot of things that you care about, but they of this world. It's not celestial. It's not eternal. It doesn't last forever. Only what you do for Christ, the messianic office. So only what you do when you're inside of your office transcends time, because your office is things that's done in love. Love is the only thing that transcends time. When you're in love, again, you are outside of space. You're outside of time. You're outside of mass. You're outside of matter. That's why when you do what you love, time flies. Time flies when you're doing what, when you're with somebody that you love and when you're doing things that you love. Time, you know how slow time goes when you go to work? You be sitting up there, man, that last 2 hours of the job, you just sitting there like, oh, man. You know how slow those last 2 hours are at work on payday Friday? And you trying to get off work, man. You spoke, man, you looking at that clock. Man, wasn't it 3:30 minutes ago? And you get off at 4, and you just stand at the clock. Time is tick, 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 tick. But then when you get off work and you get your check, and the weekend goes by like, bam. You're like, man, where did the weekend go? Because you having fun, so you're outside of time. So you step into eternity when you step into fun. Let me say that again. You step into eternity. Time doesn't exist when you are having fun with the things and with the people that you love. It doesn't exist because now you are on God's time. God don't have time. God doesn't. I mean, can you think about that? No such thing as time. Like, what is time anyway? What is time? And what is eternity? That's interesting because time is the marking of events. Time is like you just, like, okay, time just went by. I paused for a moment and a couple of seconds went by. But what are those seconds? Okay, those are just tick marks. But what if there was no such thing as tick marks? What if there was no such thing as a clock? What if there was no such thing as measure? Time is a system of measurements. And it's interesting because time really doesn't exist. It's a creator. It's like the calendar. Some fool decided to, like, how many days is there in there? Why? Well, somebody just made up and said, okay. Now, y'all know that we, before the Greek Greco-Roman calendar, we had some other calendar, and they changed the days, and they did this, manipulating time. It's man-made. It's just somebody come up with a system to measure, see how long you've been doing stuff. Well, God is outside of all of these systems of measurement. God is outside of math, music, and language. So love is the only thing that transcends time. Anytime you step into love, you step out of time. So anybody want to step into eternity? That's how you do it. Step into eternity when you step out of boredom and when you step out of things that don't engage you. Because once you step into something that you love, bam, that gives you the power to do what? Overcome him. Why? Because you pass your test. How do you pass your test? By making very small accomplishments. What kind of accomplishments? The accomplishments in the area of your life path. So we overcome him by finding our path and establishing a system that allows us to move in the direction of our God-given destiny. That is how we overcome being attached to the cares of this world. But there's a problem. There's a bigger problem. Because it says in verse 12, Revelation 12:12 says this. Revelation 12:12 says this. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea. With great fury the devil has come down to you, knowing he only has a short time. So people, that would be me and you, because we are on earth. Because this was given to you when you was in heaven. Let me say that again. So that was a war in heaven. Revelation chapter 12 is about the war in heaven, not on earth. Now, let me make sure you understand. The dragon, if you want to use that term, wanted to overthrow the authority in heaven. And the attempt that he used was unsuccessful. And so because of that, he was bounced out and he was sit down here. So he was here waiting on you when you got here. This is his territory. And he is angry because you walking into his kitchen, you going into his refrigerator, you taking out his food, you're firing up his stove, and you're using his cooking utensils, and you are cooking and doing everything and messing up his house, and you sitting down at his table eating. Now, I don't know about you. If you walked and you came home and you saw a total stranger sitting in your house eating your food with his feet on your furniture, kicking back without an invitation, wouldn't you be upset? I don't know about you. I would be a little upset if I came home and I saw somebody in my house making themselves at home. I would be really upset. That's why the enemy doesn't like you. It's not personal. It's the fact that this is his domain. He created this domain. He has his children down here. And unless you're one of his children, then he's taking care of you. But let's say you're not one of his children, and you are eating and kicking and enjoying the fruits of his children's labor. That's what it says in John 10. It talks about the good shepherd coming back for his sheep. And after he finished that, he's going to come back for the other shepherd's sheep. So we got a lot of different types of mankind. So you are here, and the enemy don't like you because you're using his system. Right now we're using his system. We're using technology. We're using sound. We're using frequency. We're using wave. We're using vibration. We're using math, music, and language. We're using our five senses. All of this stuff was given to us by the cosmic author. And now he's like, if you're not serving me, I want my stuff back. And the big G says, you know what? Not only am I going to take my kids, I'm going to take your kids, and I'm going to take your system. And so the little G is saying, I don't think so. So the war is on. So God said, I'm going to take everything that you meant for evil, and I'm going to transmute it. I'm going to turn it around, and I'm going to use it for good. That's what the scripture says. And the enemy said, no, you ain't. Well, obviously the big G got a little bit more power than the little G. And so that's what's going on. There's a war going on inside of you. And the little G is offering you the cares of this world, which are peanuts. But you don't remember the streets of gold in the celestial realm. So we think that's what's been offered on this realm. What's been offered on this realm? Lust of the flesh. He appeals to your five senses. Pride of life. He gives you stuff to do. Take pride of ownership. Go get that college degree. And then look down on everybody else that don't got one. Then he tells you, you know what? I want you to go and hug a tree and save the whales. But don't you help the homeless people. In Florida, it's against the law to feed the homeless. But you can feed a stray dog, but you can't give a homeless person. Are you serious? It's against the law to feed the homeless, to care? Oh, yeah. That's the cause of go out to a system. Lust, pride, fear, doubt, unbelief. So if you don't do those things, if you don't have fear, if you don't have doubt, if you don't have unbelief, you're under attack. Because the enemy says, oh, no, you got to be afraid. Dude. You got to be afraid. It's not optional. If you're down here, you have to operate in fear. So everything on this planet is designed to get you to operate in fear. And so let's say you get to the day, you wake up and you like me. And you decide, well, you know what? I ain't scared of nothing. Everything that the church says, they say, don't do this. I'm going to do it. Why? Because I'm not afraid. And then they're going to say, well, don't have no hope. Always be nervous. See, hope. What is hope? See, hope is interesting because hope says that it's a spirit of expectation. Hope says that the glass is half full instead of half empty. Hope is like optimism. You're just optimistic that things are going to work out all right. And then love. You can't have love because love is God. So if you have faith, hope, and love instead of fear, doubt, and unbelief, you overcome the world. So the way that we overcome the world is instead of taking a test and having fear, doubt, and unbelief, when you go and you decide, you know what, I'm not going to operate in lust anymore, I'm going to operate in love. When you make that statement, brothers and sisters, what you're saying then is now you are not going to have this overbearing, overpowering stuff that makes you hurt people to get your rocks off. You can still get your rocks off, but you ain't got to hurt nobody. You ain't got to rob. You ain't got to steal. You ain't got to manipulate. You ain't got to con. You got to do none of this. You can do it in love. You can find someone or something, and that can be what I call a win-win transaction. Why does somebody got to lose? Why do we live in an environment where we compete? Like in boxing, you got a boxer. There's a winner and a loser. We run a race. The guy who comes in first, winner. The guy who comes in second, loser. We live in an environment, again, where there's up, down. We live in an environment of polarity. We live in an environment of scarcity. Everybody can have a piece of pie because it's not enough to go around. That's what they tell us. The earth is overpopulated. Really? Drive from San Antonio to El Paso. Nothing. 500 miles. Nothing. So everybody that's overcrowded, just move between San Antonio and El Paso. There's land out there. I don't know who's on it, but there's signs that say for sale. If y'all crowded, move to Texas between San Antonio and El Paso, a plethora of land. And you can go to any, on all the states I've been to, there's a lot of land, but we overcrowded. So somebody is creating an artificial, that's called fear. So they're using fear to make you think we got a shortage. But see, there's enough pie. There's a slice of pie that everybody can have a piece. But see, some people got five pieces. They can't even eat them all. They got five pieces, and they're hoarding. They're not letting everybody else get a piece. Now, you should work for your piece. You should do the same thing that everybody else, but there's a piece of pie for you. But they tell you that there's not because they want you to act in fear. They want you to be scared. They want you to walk around like, oh, there's no pie for me and my family. I don't know what we're going to do. And you get nervous. You don't have no belief. But see, God says faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these three is love. When you operate in those three, you can pass the test. Because when you're taking the test and the enemy presents something to you, it's false evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. False, F. Evidence, E. Appearing, A. Real, R. False evidence appearing real. So we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So tomorrow, we go deep into the solution. Tomorrow, we're going to break down Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Now, let me make sure that I lay the ground for you so that way tomorrow you'll tune in. So remember, brothers and sisters, the devil hides in the details. And so I do didactic teaching because I overstand. So all of my successes has come, and all my failures has come because I moved too fast and I didn't slow down to understand the details. So there's a contract. Under contract law, whenever you sign a contract with somebody, you are morally and legally obligated to them. Obligated simply means that a part of your vesture. Remember when somebody touched the hem of Jesus' garment and power flew from him, and he's like, whoa, who touched me? Somebody touched me. So when you sign a contract and you put your name on a piece of paper, you leave a piece of your energy with that piece of paper. How many pieces of paper have you signed in your life? Think about your driver's license. Think about when you make a real estate deal and about your mortgage. Think about when you signed, any type of a deal with somebody. That's what you were doing. So you got to go back and take your energy back. That's how we overcome him. We overcome him by the blood, the life of the Lamb. That's number one. So we got the life force of the Lamb. Now, the life force of the Lamb represents Christ. So the life force comes from your position or your diaconia. So when you know what you're called to do, it gives you force. It gives you power. It gives you authority. Dunamis power is what it's called. So number one, we got that. You got your diaconia. You ready? I'm a teacher. I know I'm a teacher. Nobody got to tell me. I don't need no degree. I don't need nothing of man's to validate my teaching. I don't need nothing from man. My teaching ability came from God. The universe taught me and gave me a diploma that says, or my degree. So I got my doctoral degree from God in the area of teaching. So just because you don't recognize it, hey, it doesn't bother me. And then notice the second thing. So we get our power from our position. And then it says, by the word of their testimony. So it's not the testimony that gives you power over the world and over religion. It's the word. So the words that you use, that's what gives you power. But what does that mean? Well, tomorrow we break down this Greek word.
Strong's G, 3056. Logos. Logos.
We break down Logos or Logos. So my brothers and my sisters, and thank everybody so much for joining me on today's show. Tomorrow we wrap it up with part 7 as we give you the solution to overcoming the world, the Logos. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part 1, continue to lead and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly avert to bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn or something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you might snap out the actor, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Yeah.